Okay, it's very good to see you all. Master Life, it's 11 o'clock and we always start on time. Let's have a prayer together. Yeah. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the Master Life program that we can learn how to follow Jesus. We pray that the Holy Spirit Himself will guide our thoughts and discussions, help us, give us strength to go through the whole discipleship process, and bless today's gathering. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, it's very good to see you all. This is week 5 of our first book. And the last week's learning is a witness to the world. Let me start today's session with some review the basics. I think it's the most important thing is to go back to the basics and make sure you master all the basic stuff. The Master Life. What is Master Life? This is a discipleship training. It's not a lecture series. I think by now you are very sure you understand this. It's not a lecture series. It's a training process. Okay. Basically, it help you to develop some disciplines in your spiritual life, namely 6 of them. Okay. One is the discipline of the Word, that you will read the Bible. You are rooted firmly in the Word of God. You are a Christian who understands what it says in the Bible. You will develop a habit of reading the Bible daily and make sure you will read through the Bible. Okay. That's the discipline of the Word. And the second discipline is the discipline of prayer. You will pray to God, bring your petitions, intercessions, but another thing is you give thanksgiving and adoration to God. You learn how to praise God, to thank Him, to enrich your prayer life, and pray in faith, not just uttering some words, but you know in your heart, believing in your heart that God is living God, He listens to you, and He will answer your prayers according to His will. And then another thing is a fellowship with believers. I think we need to have this discipline. As members of the body of Christ, we need to have a spiritual fellowship. Many people misunderstanding fellowship. They thought it's just a church program or just a Christian activity. But in the biblical sense, it's a sharing of lives with other Christians. Christians sharing with each other their lives, sharing your hardships, your blessings, your ups and downs, and pray together, encourage each other. That's a true Christian fellowship, and we learn how to have Christian fellowship in this discipleship process. Last week, we learned how to witness to the world, and you, as a Christian, a disciple of Christ, you have the responsibility to share the gospel. You are compelled to share. It's not just the responsibility of the ministers. It's for every Christian. And this coming week, we'll learn how to serve each other. We just mentioned 5 disciplines: the discipline of the Word, the discipline of the of prayer, and discipline of fellowship, discipline of witnessing, and discipline of ministry, serving. But all of these 5 is based on the number 1 discipline. It's the discipline of denying yourself and make Christ Himself the center of your life. So make sure you got this in your heart. Make sure you deeply understand what is discipleship. You learn some skill to memorize the scripture, that's not discipleship. You learn how to draw the disciples' cross and explain it to other people, that's not discipleship. The basics, the centerpiece of discipleship is making Christ your Lord and to follow Him. So through this training, this process, we learn by practicing how to actually make Christ the center of your life, how to dethrone yourself, deny yourself. No longer I will be sitting in the throne of my life. I will continuously inviting Christ to be the Lord of my life, and that's discipleship. That's the purpose of Master Life. I hope you all get this and are all blessed by this process. Alright, so what is Master Life? It's a 6-month intensive discipleship training program, not a lecture series. You will know, follow Jesus and live a Christ-centered life. We will learn this in the process. I hope and pray that by the end of the discipleship, all of us have learned how to master this one, to make Christ the center of our life. You will do weekly assignments. Make sure you do this. You have one more week to do all the if next week you haven't completed all your assignment, you'll be dropped from the class. So have one more week. Make sure you complete all the assignments. We take 6 weeks to learn this process, to make sure we're faithfully following all the assignments and complete them. You will read your Bible daily in our class. That's 5 out of 7, 5 days a week. You will read your Bible. You have a Bible reading plan. You submit that at the beginning of the class, so you will do your plan. And you will be faithful to your church in attendance and stewardship. That's the requirement of Master Life. It's a church-based program. We are not individual believers. We are a member of Christ's body, the church. So we'll be faithful. And you'll have an accountability group. That's why I repeat it so many times. It's so crucial, so important that you belong to a group and be faithful to the members of that group. Each time you are absent, you bring some difficulty to the other members. Each time you don't do your assignment, you are bringing some difficulty to the group. You will be faithful to your group. You will be considerate to of other group members. So make sure you will be there, be faithful. They are counting on you. And make sure you each other, encourage each other. You will do the assignment and be a good follower of Christ. You dedicate yourself to Christ, the CBCWA, and your Master Life small group. The three things we are talking about. You dedicate yourself to your Lord, Christ Himself, and your church, CBCWA here, and your people. That's your small group. So you'll be a faithful person. You will become a discipler of others once we finish this. The goal of discipleship is to reproduce other disciples. Once you are done, you finish it, you know how to be a follower, a disciple, then you will be a discipler himself. You will help other brothers and sisters, teach them how to follow Christ. That's the purpose of Master Life. So remember back to 5 or 6 weeks ago, I asked you this question, are you in the right program? So I explained the whole thing in the beginning to you. I want to make sure you are in the right program. There is a break coming up, the church retreat. We don't have class. And by that time, we have already finished book one. We have 3 more books to go. If by that time you know you are in the wrong group, you no longer want to continue, it's your final chance to drop. I mean, drop on your own. You don't want me to drop you. Okay? And starting from the first lesson of book two, we are seriously following all the instructions in the book. you will be faithful to your accountability group and you will do all the assignments. We want to make sure that this will be beneficial to you. You will harvest good fruit out of this experience. And Christian discipleship, I'm going through some basics with you now. Okay. Christian discipleship is for you to develop a relationship with Christ, and that relationship is a personal, you, so and so, and your Lord Christ. It's personal and it's lifelong, not just 6 months, it's lifelong, and it's obedient. He's the Lord, I'm the follower, so I do what Christ told me to do. Christian discipleship is to transform your character into Christ's likeness. This will take more than 6 months. All of us, me included, it takes a lifelong for us to be more and more like Christ himself. And it is to change your values into kingdom values. I think this is one of the benefits we harvest from this program. Is the value change. We adopt the kingdom value and we will benefit from this new value. Yourself and your family, your church, all will benefit from this new value. Christian discipleship is to involve you in his missions in the home, the church, and the world. Okay? We are disciple in action, a church in action. We do what Christ told us to do, to do his mission. Okay. All right. And we've gone through this discipleship covenant. Many, it's a commitment. You commit yourself to be a follower of Christ. You commit yourself to attending the Master Life sessions. You commit yourself to your church and your small groups, etc. Okay. And at the beginning of the class, each of you have signed in your book the covenant by putting your name on the book, by signing your covenant. You are making a covenant with your group members before God that you will honor what you have just signed, and you will do what the discipleship covenant says. That's a promise you made to your group members and to God himself, and you will honor it. One of the things you promise is you're going to establish a daily quiet time. Okay? If not 7 days a week, at least 5 days a week. And for the past weeks, we are trying to make progress on this item, daily quiet time. I think by now, most of you is establishing, beginning to have this daily quiet time habit. I'm very sure you will benefit from this spiritual discipline. Yeah. The daily master communication guide in our class is optional. You can just read your Bible and write down whatever is in your heart, or you can just follow what's in the book, the communication guide in that form and that way. And okay, be faithful to your church in attendance and in stewardship. We mentioned that already. Love and encourage each group member. Share my faith with others. We'll do this more and more, sharing your faith with other people, witnessing. Okay? We'll put that in action. I think in last week's assignment, one of the assignments is to get to know a non-believer and find out all you can about that person. Yeah. Keeping confidence, anything that others share in the group session, that's a very essential thing about a small group. People will keep, be confidential, okay? Keep in secret whatever people shared. Submit myself to others willingly in accountability, etc. And finally, be a discipler of others as God gives opportunity. Another thing you can just read yourself. And this is your covenant. You signed more than a month ago, and we will honor that covenant. Your accountability group, it's a group that needs everyone to participate, to encourage each other, and to pray for each other. I think that in the past 5 or 6 weeks, there's a lot of adjustment going on. Some of the morning people attend the afternoon session, and some of the afternoon people go back to the morning session. It's my hope that the next book will settle down already, and you just stick to one group, and know all the people in your group, pray for them. They will pray for you too. So for the next about 5 or 6 months, you stick to one certain group. We're done with the adjustment. Hopefully no more moving around. I know some group has been getting smaller. They start with 5 or 6 people, now are down to 2 or 3 people because there's moving around. Maybe by the end of this book one, you need to regroup. The ideal size is about 5 or 6 people in one group. So you will do this among yourself. You will share and hold each other accountable. When you check the weekly assignment, make sure you do it seriously. Don't just do it loosely. Make sure the disciples take. I mean, this is not your typical Sunday school class. This is discipleship, so take it very seriously. You don't just play a Mr. Nice Guy. So make sure you encourage each other to follow through all the requirements, and by doing so, you will benefit from the result. Otherwise, it's just a wishy-washy. It's not really beneficial. Okay. All right. I just gone through some basics. Let's do a little bit of sharing and discussion. Question one, did you read your Bible daily last week?
Yes.
Okay. You ask each other in the small group time. Okay. Ask each other, did you read your Bible daily last week? And everybody has to answer honestly. Give an honest answer. So in that way we can help each other. Okay. Did you complete my walk with the master this week? Okay. All the assignments, ask each other. And the purpose to help each other, hold each other accountable. Okay. All right. This one I'd like you to share. You've been asked to make a new friend who is not a Christian and learn all you can about him or her. Anyone like to share his or her experience? Did you make some new friend who is not a Christian?
Well, I started talking to my neighbor. I'm not by nature an extrovert that makes friends easy. When I was a kid, my mother used to encourage me to go up and just go stick out your hand and say, "Hi, my name's Robbie. What's your name?" And I'm like, "You should do it." But I just did, and I just started talking to the guy, and we just started this conversation. He's one of our neighbors, and so I'm not exactly sure what it means by friend, because that's perhaps a relative term. But I just started talking to him. I just met him, and I just started asking about. I asked him, and we had a great conversation. And so now, since I've been seeing him a couple times afterwards, we say hi and stuff. So we'll see where it goes. But
good. Thank you, Pastor. That's your neighbor, you say?
Yes, my neighbors. Oh. That's my hope is. And then, as a matter of fact, did it again. I was in a role. And I started talking to my other neighbor, and I was telling him about what happened with Jack. And in the meantime, I'm able to share that I'm a pastor and whatnot. But I haven't gotten any responses back from that. I'm growing.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Rob. We are all growing. Anyone else like to share? Okay. Okay. I hope more people will share about this. For sure, we're going to do more witnessing. Okay. Okay, let's go to the next one. Yeah. By now, you should have a quiet time at least 5 out of 7. So this is a requirement. Make sure you keep your quiet time, daily quiet time, and hopefully all of us will enjoy it. It's my experience. It actually saves your time. You have a little time of quiet time. You spend 15-30 minutes each day. You actually save your time. Usually in a day we waste a lot of time unnecessary things. Actually have a quiet time save you a lot of time. Help you to be more efficient. Yeah. Oh, it also help your mind and your soul inside yourself. Sometimes you get up with a bad mood, and you eventually waste the whole day. But if you approach God in the morning, you make some kind of adjustment spiritually, and it helps you through the day. All right, how are you doing with your scripture memorization? Share your experience. Everybody is doing fine. You memorize all the scriptures?
Yes.
Okay, good. You know, in the afternoon, I made them to 默写. They have to write down the paper word by word, and in the morning session, you just recite it to each other. Make sure you make sure you tell that person which version you are using, and you will do it correctly. Okay. All right. Now, this question. Okay. If a non-believer asks you now, please tell me how to become a Christian. What will you tell him or her? Huh?
Are you talking about ABC or like the verses
and call? Anything. Okay, Jonathan, you share. Good. How will you tell that person?
We're all sinners. What that means is we have transgressed against God's law. According to Romans 3:23, Paul has written that.
Actually, you use this.
Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's all of us, myself included, you, me, everyone, right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That comes from Romans 6:23. And basically what that means is because we're all sinners and because we've all sinned, we deserve death. And death means separation from God. So it's not going to be pleasant. God is the source of all things that are good. And when we're separated from Him, we no longer can take pleasure in anything. And it's not good. So if you admit that you are a sinner, and you can just check yourself against the Ten Commandments there. Sure, you might be able to physically do some of the last five, but, you know, 1 through 4. Anyways. All right. If you would like to have life as opposed to eternal death, you can believe in Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So His Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, taking upon Himself your sin, so that you could be redeemed and reconciled, and have a right relationship with God. So your response is to believe and then commit yourself to living for God. to repent from your sins, which means to turn away from your sins, to not have a habit of a sinful lifestyle. And He will continue to sanctify you from that point forward. Should I continue?
I believe after that.
Okay.
Thank you, Jonathan. Okay. Anyone else like to share? Yeah, that's good, Jonathan. Thank you. Okay, each of you have to be able to do this. If someone comes to you and asks you how to be a Christian, you're going to tell that person clearly how to become a Christian. Don't just have some vague idea or say, oh, I can do this. But you can actually, from point to point, tell that person how to become a Christian. And in your book last week, there's a thing called the Roman Road, remember? Okay, the master life always, it gives you a very complicated Roman Road, okay? 10 or 11 steps, it's hard to remember all of them. Okay, let me give you a simplified version and then you are done. Okay, Roman Road, okay. Roman road to salvation. Okay, we start with the why we need salvation, the fact of sin, and Jonathan just mentioned that we start with Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Okay, so we fall short of the glory of God, and you elaborate on that point. So because we are all sinners, that's why we need salvation. And the second one, I only have four steps. So the second step is God's plan for salvation. That's Romans 5:8. Christ died on the cross. That shows us the love of God. Basically, that's what it means. God's plan for salvation is for His only Son, Christ Himself, to die on the cross. So you explain to that person that's God's plan for salvation. And the third step, Jonathan mentioned this one, is Romans 6:23. There are two different results. First is the penalty of sin is death. That's the first result. And the other one is God's promise for eternal life. So in that one verse, you see two different results you share with that person. If we don't have Christ, then we face death, eternal death, the penalty of sin is death. And if we have Christ, then God's gift is eternal life. The final step is man's responsibility. There are something that each person needs to do. The responsibility is to repent and receive Christ. So Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Christ is the Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And any person who calls upon God, God will answer him. So if from your heart you recognize you are a sinner and want to accept Christ as your Savior, just pray that sinner's prayer, receive Christ into your heart and you will be saved. So this is a simplified version of Roman Road, only four steps. I think all of us can manage to remember four steps. You will remember the verses. Four steps with five verses. Okay, the number four step has two verses. They are all in the book of Romans. That's why it's called the Roman Road. And it's going one step at a time from chapter 3 to chapter 5 to chapter 6 to chapter 10. Okay. It does not go back and forth. Just go make an advancement, 3, 5, etc. So four steps. Make sure you, all of you, remember this. If someday God gives you this opportunity and some people approach you and that person wants to be a Christian and you don't have the four spiritual law in your pocket and you just have a Bible, and you should be able to explain God's salvation plan from your Bible and make it very clear lead to that person. Okay, I think this is what I have for sharing. Memory versus you do it among yourself. And the assignment and the small group time. Okay. This coming week's assignment, you will go through the page, all the assignment. I just take some of the assignment and show it to you, okay? This week, Mass Life requires you to do a kind act for your non-Christian friend. This week, remember, you made a friend last week, and do a kind act for this non-Christian friend this week. And share with someone that what the Lord has done for you since you have been involved in Mass Life. Has this discipleship made any change on you? If yes, share it with someone. That's one of the assignments. Pray for your pastors. Okay, your pastors need your prayer. Okay. Says in the homework, pray for your pastor and your church. For the English congregation, you need to, for both congregations, you need to pray for Pastor Rob and pray for me. And I think both of us really appreciate it. We thank you for your prayers. We really need a brother and sister's prayer to keep on going in the ministry. So thank you and appreciate that. Complete my walk with the Master this week and memorize a new verse. It's a short one, John 15:13. By week 6, you need to complete all assignments in order to advance to book 2. So this coming week, make sure you do all your assignments. Okay, now it's your small group time. As usual, you check each other's My Walk with the Master this week, and you quote from memory the memory verses. You practice with each other, explaining the disciples' cross. There's something you need to share. One is to share your experience in making a new friend who is not a Christian. So share this with your group members, practice Roman road with each other. Okay? You can practice the simplified version I just showed you, and then pray for each other. Okay, let's break into small groups.